What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm here to introduce you to my new series, Parrish. My character, Gray Parrish, was a getaway driver.
I'm retired from life. You know that.
He's in a world over his head.
Tell me about this driver job.
And he's asked to start to figure things out.
I did what you told me to.
He will try to do what's right and seek justice.
Parrish, all new Sundays at 9 on AMC and stream on AMC+.
Welcome to Will You Accept This Rose, a production of iHeartRadio.
Oh, yeah.
I can't hear hot breath on my neck and not have a reaction. God, it feels so good. We're in the inner circle right now. I don't know if two of these people have met yet, but I like this combination. Oh, look at that. Look at that. Ooh la la. No autographs, please. That's how you do it.
Would you accept this rose into your world?
Hello, welcome to another episode of Will You Accept This Rose? My name is Artemarine, coming to you from my mom's bougie apartment in New York City. I've gotten a better background on my Zoom. I went for the wallpaper wall. You guys, could not be more delighted. First of all, I'll be back in LA soon, which is always fun to be in person. Although it's been fun to do our in-person ones here, and it's always nice to be able to see my pals, even when we're traveling. Okay, I could not be more excited. We've missed this person very much. We love this person. We talk about this person when he's not on the show, because we like on our show, because we are his super fan and we love him very much, and we just think he is the best. He is, you know him, oh, I don't know. He's a podcast host. He's a DJ. He's also on Bachelor in Paradise. And I'm not talking about Jesse Palmer. I'm talking about our number one favorite, Wells Adams.
Oh, I've missed
you. He's also the host of the Hulu show Best in Dome.
That's right. And but more importantly, I get to watch the dumpster fire burn every summer.
And
it is on fire, I feel like, this season.
I mean, the amount of times they say vibing, vibing. What if there's the intentionality has hit the shores of Mexico. There's an intentionality. There's a vibing. We're being very intentional as we're vibing.
Oh, and it's also giving. Everything's giving something.
I mean,
I can tell you, I could give a shit. It's so annoying. Every turn, it's, oh, this is giving husband vibes.
Oh, this is giving husband. I'll tell you who came. Kylie came to play with the. Do you hear that? That's the cops have found me.
Finally.
Look, New York City. Finally. You know what? I was pretty noisy about that heist, and I stole America's heart, and they're coming for me. You know who else stole America's heart? My friend who I saw on the Lower East Side very briefly Friday night. I saw him. I would say maybe during happy hour. I went during happy hour to Tom and Jerry's bar on Elizabeth and Houston, where there was a lot of taxidermy. But more important, there was a man in an Iron Maiden shirt. You know him as the executive producer of Silver Lake Bachelor, where they catch and release coyote cubs to win the heart of the Bachelor, where you judge a gal based on her tattoo sleeves and also if she works at Trader Joe's. Ladies and gentlemen, the host of Rock Tales with Amit Zappa, your friend, my friend, Brendan Smith.
Hey.
Yeah.
Seeing Artemarine on the Lower East Side, what a delight. You scaring
Look.
Those hipster children. It was so wonderful to see.
Was I giving?
You were glowing. You were living your best
life. You know
life.
What? I actually went into my closet and I was like, bitch, you bought this dress to Maurizia for your fall in New York and you haven't worn it yet? So put it on for Brenda's hot girlfriend, Julia, because she's going to notice your dress. And I put it on and she did. She noticed my dress.
Well, that's why I just want to say,
I know you wouldn't.
We miss you here. I'm back in Los Angeles. We miss you here in Los Angeles. We're so excited for you to come back. But before we get going, I do want to say to Wells, we are about to produce season 9 of Bachelor Silver Lake. I'm willing to get rid of the Bachelor. I know he's in a relationship, but I think he would be the greatest Bachelor of Silver Lake of all time.
You know what?
25 men, women, and non-binary individuals competing for the heart of Wells.
I
would be good at this. Like the first 2-on-1 would be to a record store, and it would be choosing like your favorite Elliott Smith records or something like that.
What
Connor Oberst tunes really get you going?
Oh, wait, something eyes, blue eyes, sad eyes. What is he? He's what?
They're all sad. He's eyes. Bright eyes.
Bright eyes. Well, you know what? I feel like to me, now I'm just throwing this out there. I'm just spitballing. I feel like the lead of Bachelor Silver Lake really should be married, but in an ethically non-monogamous open marriage.
Yeah.
Do you know?
We have many polygamous contestants competing for the heart of the Bachelor or Bachelorette. So it all works down to last season of the Bachelorette Silver Lake, our Bachelorette Friday. She chose Caitlin with a K, which was very exciting, over Jonah, the baby writer on Grey's Anatomy. I think we really need to mix things up with a married man.
To join our thruple.
That's exactly right. I do like the catch and release. You have to you can catch a baby coyote.
I'll just tell Wells that when we get down to the final six, you automatically get to hometowns if you're a lady and you're able to go up into the hills of Griffith Park above the old zoo, find a coyote puppy and bring it for you. It's the hardest competition every season on the Bachelor's Club, right? So really looking forward to working with
you looking
and having coffee by crab service. Okay.
Okay. Also with us is a woman who's been jetting around the world. And dare I say, I feel like I've been replaced and I'm fine with it. Honestly, I can't compete. I'm here for it. And I know that she's still, no matter what, going to be the wind beneath my wings. She knows that I'm going to wine and dine her. There's nothing I would not do for this queen. And look, if I need to sell my house and take her flying around the world to go from Orlando to Tampa in a jet ski that's private with me, letting her steer, I'll ride the back. I will do that. You know her as the producer of this podcast. You know her as the producer of Will Ferrell's podcast, of Chelsea Handler's podcast, of the Workaholics podcast, but mostly she is the physician of this podcast, Dr. Hannah Montana, Ariana, Rosanna, Dana, Mittens, Meow, Reen, Hosnier, Levine. Welcome to the program, Dr. Banana.
Thank you so much. You'll never be replaced.
No. You know what? I actually like it. I'm a polygamist in friendship. I have an ethically non-monogamous BFF friendship, open policy. I like the more the merrier. If you've ever been to my birthday party, you know it's a little more the merrier situation.
Yeah. And I will say I no longer produce Chelsea Handler's podcast. So.
Okay. Well, I beat one out. Also.
Outlast.
Also with us is a woman who took a weekend to herself, and you know what? I'm glad that she did. And guess what? I'm glad that she did, because she needed some me time. She needed to go do her thing. She needed to go hiking. She needed to go be with her animal, her man. She needed to go to the woods. Ladies and gentlemen, you know her. You love her. Animal activist, and I'm going to say, equal to Wells, more than Wells, the number one in America. I'm not sure. Katie Levine.
It was actually a vacation for Scout.
Yeah, she took her dog on a vacation. Yeah,
Scout has cancer and she's going to the vet a lot. And we were like, you know what? Scout needs a vacation. So we took her to Monterey, which is her favorite place in the world.
That's right.
She does not go in the ocean, but she likes to sit near the ocean.
So she's sort of like Kat.
Yeah. So she won't get her hair wet. But yeah, so we took Scout on a vacation. She
had a great time.
Yes. She literally, like, we would walk in a Sea Lamar, and then we would just go down to one of the little coves and just sit on the beach. Aww. And she would just sleep. Aww. And she had the, and sometimes she just stares out at the ocean, actually.
That's nice.
Yeah. Ugh. She really loves it.
That's my hometown.
That's nice.
I know. And that's where I went to college, and I love it. I wish I could live there. That's like my dream, is to live.
Where did you go to college, Pacific Grove? Katie?
At Cal State Monterey Bay.
That's so cool. CSUMB. What'd you say?
Film.
Come on. Here we are. Look at this. Let the circles be unbroken.
Yeah.
Well, guys, let me ask this. How is this journey for you? When you go, like, when you start down there, do you make a pal each season as you're filming?
Yeah. I think every year someone gravitates towards me and I gravitate towards them. And
can I guess who your pal is this
season? Yeah, I think you're probably going to get it right.
It's going to be Brayden, right?
Yes.
It has to be Brayden.
Yeah. And it's so funny because, you know, I was right before the show started. I can kind of see, before they bring me down, I can kind of see everybody. And I remember seeing Brayden, and I was like, I'm going to hate this kid. He's got the dumbest earrings on. Like, he's
that's
scarfs.
Right.
It's 100 million degrees on.
That's right.
Like, he looks like, I don't know, like a poor man's Indiana Jones. Like, you know, like, I was very confused with everything that was happening.
Yes.
And, you know, it's a good, like, analogy for life. Like, you can't judge a book by its cover, because he ends up being my favorite person on the show.
I mean, I'm going to tell you the truth. I did not see it happening for myself. But watching him this season on this show, I really found him charming.
Yeah.
And I have found him sweet. And look, there's been a few switcheroos that maybe in time he might not do at 30, that he does at 24. You know what I mean? But I have found the lightness and the sweetness of him and the charm. At least he has personality, you know? And we forget that he was in the military. He was in the military.
Yeah.
Right?
He's one of those people that immediately when they walk into the room, like, the vibration kind of comes up. Everyone's like, like, great to see
him.
Yes, he's a good time. And it's very weird to me that he got, like, such kind of a bad look on The Bachelorette.
Right.
Because he does come across as such a lovely person. But, you know, I mean, he does dress like an idiot. So, I mean, I get it.
Yeah, it's fun. I have to say, look, Brendan Smith.
I was just going to say the one thing about Brayden. You know, I love to cross-pollinate my reality shows. I think that Brayden would excel on Bravo's Summer House or Vanderpump Rules. I think it's time to bring him to a different part of the universe and let him run like a wild stallion and live his best life.
He honestly should go on to Winter House.
Yeah.
Oh, he would be great on Winter House.
Yeah.
Him tubing. Can you see those scarves? He's got the scarves already. I'd like to see the winter collection. Yeah, and he's adorable, and he's fun. And now that they've opened up Winter House, and they've got some bosuns and stuff from Below Deck to let a bosun go tubing with Brayden, that is what we need. Come on, to celebrate the end of the strike. Well, here we are, and I know you probably don't want to hear this, Wells, because I hate when people, literally, I know it's a compliment when people are like, we love you, we want to see you more. So I just want to say, we love you. We want to see you more.
Oh,
that's it.
Thank you. I want to see me more, too, because the amount of time that I'm actually filming compared to the amount of time that I'm on TV, I'm like, I'm not sure if the juice is worth the squeeze anymore.
I mean, I can see that.
I'm getting old, man. Like, these eight-hour shifts, my dogs are barking.
Kitty cat needs to nap. He's got a nap. Yeah. So you have to actually bartend. You have to actually bartend.
Yeah. That's one thing everyone... It's so funny. Every season they all come down and they all say the same thing. They're like, oh, you have to do this. And I was like, well, what did you think? And they're like, well, we thought, like, some guy was making a drink and then, like, they give it to you and then you hand it over. And it's like, no, I have to burn the ice when I break a glass into it. I have to clean all of your glasses.
No.
Oh, yeah. And that's because there's not enough real estate back there to keep enough glasses. So I have to so much patronizing that I have to do with them. I have to be like, do you have your glass still? And they'll be like, no, I lost it.
You're like sexy daycare.
Yeah. And I'm like, and it's funny. Years ago, when Ilan Gale was producing the show, he wanted to do the bit, like the credit roll bit of me walking around having to pick up all the glasses, because I'm the only bogey that's allowed to be in the backgrounds of shots. So when I do run out of cups, I have to be like, and walk around the beach and pick all of them up. And I'm like, everyone's making out. And I'm like, yeah, fuck you. I have to wash your cups.
Wow.
So, yeah,
it must be. It must be wild having been a contestant. And now what? Did they do? Because I also feel like the actual contestants have gotten younger. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like they used to be more, there was more like 31-year-olds around, and now there's a lot of like 24-year-olds.
I don't know. I'm starting to feel like Matthew McConaughey in Dazed and Confused, where it's like, like I keep on getting older and they stay the same age. It's not good.
Okay, look, I have to tell you.
Weed? Cool if you did.
A lot cooler if you did, man.
All right. Ooh, redheads, my favorite color. I have to say, we always feel like you give really good advice.
Yeah. That's the shtick, right? Is like giving them all good advice, like being the therapist and stuff. But yeah, I think in the next episode, I host a date. So like I'll be in it a little bit more. I'm sorry that you're not getting your allotted Wells time.
But look, we actually like, I don't even think it feels like shtick. You can't fake being good. You can't fake empathy or good advice. You know what I mean? That to me feels, I like that.
Yeah.
Like it feels like you come across as a nice human being. And, but yeah, we were mad at Aaron when he broke your box. We didn't like that. Even though I'm sure Aaron's a nice guy, we didn't like that.
Yeah, it was a very weird thing that happened. And I think he knew he was going home and he was like, I'm going to go out and blaze a glory.
I'm sure it's one of those things where I feel like we've all at some point in college or something committed to a move and then it's too late to back out because you're already mid move and then you just got to commit. I felt like even if he may not have said it out loud, I feel like he knew it wasn't the move he thought it was going to be.
Yeah. Yeah. It didn't. The punchline did not pay off at all.
No, it was bad. And they didn't get you a new box. You had to tape up that box.
Yeah, and that was really funny. That was a real life thing where they were like, I was like, so what do I do? And so the art department came in and they gave me like little nails that you'd like hang up pictures with and a hammer. And I was like, I know that you guys think that I'm going to do everything down there. Like I'm the bar back. I'm washing cups. I'm cleaning up after everybody. But I'm also not like, I'm not Nick Offerman over here. I can't be woodworking and like fixing this. Yeah. I was like, give me some gaff tape.
Or go spend $20 and get another box.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, here we are. And before we get going, there's been another Paradise Wedding. Dr. Banana, do you want to give the news?
Oh, yeah. Mari and Kenny from... It wasn't last season. It was probably like two seasons ago. Yeah.
Weren't they the toe suck? Did they have a toe suck?
No, that was Marissa and Riley. They were the same season as Joe and Serena. So I think that was 2 seasons ago.
Yeah.
Two Paradise Weddings from that season recently.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got married recently. It's in People. There's a lot of cute photos of them. And then their two little dogs are wearing little mini tuxedos. And it's really adorable.
And then, Katie, you were saying Abigail and Noah are still together?
I saw they're engaged. Yeah. I don't know if they get engaged. I couldn't remember if they got engaged on the show.
No, I don't think they did.
They're engaged together.
Then. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. And then we had the baby recently, Thomas and Becca.
Yeah. I mean,
there's been a lot of paradise.
Because people actually get to like hang out and
look,
talk.
People shit on the show. People shit on the franchise. But guess what? It's so far it's worked. I'm just saying. Okay, here we go. Any final things before we get going? Nobody got to say. I'm sure we were all shocked that Gary cut Faith. Shocked. Do you know the ending?
No, I don't. I think it's
Leslie.
I think it's Leslie. I've been saying I think it's Leslie for a while.
I feel like they've edited it so we all think it's Leslie.
Yeah.
And I wonder if he actually, I wonder if he did say I love you to Teresa and we didn't see it. So it really seems like it's not. Because she seemed like, when he didn't cut her, I think we were all collectively shocked. So it almost makes me feel like the editors are so cunning that maybe there's a trickeroo, but he seems the most attracted to Leslie.
I have some theories. I have some theories about this, and I have nothing to do with this show, and I do not know how it ends at all.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I think that a lot of bachelors and bachelorettes do this when it comes down to three people, and there's two people that you really, really like. Before you get to the end, you cut the second place person to make that last decision much easier for you.
Oh,
yeah,
that's interesting.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Brendan. Brendan's having a visceral.
I completely agree. I completely agree. On a show that has showcased Agora Hills, Westlake Village, Hidden Hills, and so much of the far, far, far West Valley so wonderfully, I think that that is how, that's what I would do if I was the Golden Bachelor.
I mean, you never know, Brendan. You never know.
I'm going to get there.
I believe in you. Well, here we go. All right. What do you guys all agree with, Wells, that it's going to be Leslie?
Oh, God. I guess that there's no choice because Teresa?
But Teresa almost feels like the most like home and she's safe. Leslie was married to a hot chef and she did it with Prince. She's going to dump him.
I do worry that if he chooses Leslie, it's not going to last.
No, it's hard.
I think Teresa would last.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Teresa's never going to leave the room that he's in.
But that's also the problem.
I was so shocked that he cut Faith because I thought it was Faith.
I think it should have been Faith. I wonder if he was like, I can't deal with Washington State and the horse.
Well, he cried way too much in the women tell all. I was like, Gary, Gary, Gary.
They hugged and she had her revenge dress on and they had a horny
hug. Her titties were out, baby. I was like,
Faith! They had a titty. They had a vajoon to the, they had like, there was like a full package to package hug.
Yeah.
They were very much embracing and horny sobbing, and I was here for it.
Is she going to be the Golden Bachelorette?
I want a 7-year-old.
They have to give it to Ellen.
No,
have to give it to Ellen, but they're going to do Joan.
Joan, I'm Team Joan.
Ellen or Joan, yeah.
But Joan is like, Joan could be like 40. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, give me an Ellen. Joan's going to be just fine. Joan is going to be just fine. Like, give me Ellen. Give me like a. Like, are you kidding me? This is the greatest. You know what I mean? Like, give me a Long Island accent. I'm here for it. Okay, here we are, Bachelor in Paradise. All right, Kat. Now, somebody got mad at me last week, and we got emailed because we've been too mean about Kat. And I've thought about this long and hard. I've thought about this. So this person has a point that we were saying that she's always been the prettiest girl in school and that doesn't create empathy. And this was a good reminder. So this is a reminder that I did not remember. Her mom, I think, like left the family. So she had no relationship with her mom from an early age and has just reconnected. Now, I've thought about this. My dad sucked, okay? My dad was real. He was just he was as nasty as you could imagine. It doesn't give you license. To set the beach on fire.
Yes.
Now, I'm not saying, so I'm going to say that perhaps our reasoning was wrong and I'm going to change. And I do believe hurt people. And she's still young and maybe she hasn't looked under the hood of her car. And that's huge. I don't know what that's like to not have my mom. I'm truly not trying to, that does not sound like an easy ride. I wouldn't wish that on anyone. And yet, she is over the age of 21. And you do have some agency over how you treat people. And while I have compassion for her, I don't think she's very kind to people. And that's what I want to say. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, my dad was shit, too. I don't treat people like absolute trash. I'm sorry. I don't give that. Because, yes, parents can suck. They are tough people to deal with growing up.
Yeah.
Whatever. Sometimes they come around. Sometimes they never do. Yeah. It is a tough life. But Kat is not a nice person. And she also she actively, continuously always says, I don't care. I don't care how this person feels. I don't care. So it's like, I'm sorry. Okay. That's
so poor John. So here we go. We've got the saga of John Henry, Kat, and Olivia. I feel badly for Olivia because Kat is so sexy. It's almost like when Angelina Jolie set her sights on Brad Pitt, even though she was Jennifer Aniston. She's Jennifer Aniston. I mean, she's adorable. So hot. But she's doing Mr. and Mrs. Smith with Brad Pitt. Here comes Angelina Jolie. Sexy as hell. I'm sorry. It's just like I felt bad for her just as I feel badly for Olivia. I felt like Olivia didn't stand a chance. And John Henry, who seems like an upfront guy, you know, I did appreciate, so they go through, Kat just basically decides, I need to make out with somebody. Tanner never kissed me. I need to make out with somebody. And she doesn't care that Olivia's with him. And she just sets her sights on him. They do the truth box with Wells. And the only note in it is meet me up at the, it was fella hopping. What did they say? Oh, rose hopping?
Homie hopping, which was the Braden special, which was great.
Homie hopping's great.
Yeah. And
his raps are great.
Yeah. I will say this though. Like, I understand what you're saying, like the Angelina Jolie thing, but Olivia also is like drop dead gorgeous. Like really,
okay.
Like in person, she's got an amazing figure. Like she's so, so pretty. And so is Kat for sure. But I do wonder if this is my kind of theory on it. The whole like tongue ring thing doesn't mean that you're like great at cunnilingus. I think that's like kind of like the what she's saying, but wait, not saying. Yeah. But
did he have a tongue ring?
No, it was taken out, but apparently he did have a tongue ring. But there is a part of me that wonders if he's one of those guys who kind of likes the kooky girls, you know, like he's like, this is going to be fun in the sack type of a situation.
Right.
And I wonder if that is what was going on with him and the Kat situation.
Mm. You know, as I watched Olivia also be such a sure thing, that I wonder if it's also so early on to be sort of wifey up, if like, I hate to say it because I'm not a big believer in like games, but I do believe, particularly if you're in paradise, Mother Nature, even though I feel like Olivia played it cool and was sort of like, okay, I'm confident. She would give like cute little kid. Like I felt like she did it as well as you could when Kat comes after your man. You kind of want to open up the possibility of like, you know what? I'll go see what's out there too. We'll each go look around. We'll dance with some different people at the prom. You know what I mean? Like to not be like, do whatever you want. I'll be right here waiting. Like I think people want a little bit of a challenge. Am I wrong? Brendan Smith.
No, I don't think you're wrong at all. And I also think that, you know, there's no, to me as a fan, there's no sure thing on Bachelor in Paradise because the Wells, forgive me for saying this, the evil producers, some of the most evil producers on reality television are always waiting to mix things up, always waiting to bring in someone from the outside world who can drop a bomb on the whole situation. So there is no sure thing. So everything is in fair play now with this many contestants left. I will say this. I just instinctually know, like if you were ever on the wrong side of Olivia at a bar, she could easily knock your face off with an ashtray. I would not want to mess with her too far.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Okay. Sure. Okay. Dr. Banana.
Sometimes I wonder if she had played it a little bit differently because she is so like confident and aggressive. That if she did play like a little bit of the victim of the situation and then kind of took the power away from Kat, that if things would have been a little bit different and he would have been like, I want to save Olivia because what Kat's doing to her is not right, instead of they're both just going crazy, like maybe I'm just gonna pick whatever crazy I like.
Yeah, and some it often seems like the newer one, like, well, we haven't made out all day on a day bed, this is the unknown, I'm the guy that hasn't put my tongue ring in a little while. Like, you know what I mean? I also can't believe nobody's used the boom boom room yet. This is like, I feel like a couple seasons ago, like night one, people, I mean, again, look, I appreciate that people have self-respect and like it doesn't even seem like people want to. And I'm like, that is fascinating.
No one went last season either. And this is I have a new theory on this. If you want me to just really quickly do it, I'll give you the elevator pitch of my new theory.
I
want
to hear the theory. So what's your theory?
This is the first and maybe the second season of truly a show filled with Gen Z kids. Yep. And when I was on the show, like the social media aspect of our lives was not as it is now. And these kids have all lived their entire lives producing their own reality show vis-a-vis their social media. And they're really, really good about making sure they self-edit and they don't want to make things, they don't want to look bad and everything. And that was a big thing for everyone. Everyone said, I'm not going to the boom boom room. And I would be... because they were like, that's going to look terrible. And I would always say the thing of, I think that's crazy if you are going to get engaged to somebody and not at least like cuddle with them one time. Like that's bonkers to me.
Yes, that's interesting. Yes, Brendan.
I was going to say, just hearing this from Wells, the social media aspect, the Gen Z, the Gen Y of it. It's my birthday today.
happy birthday.
I am now officially too old for Los Angeles. It's illegal to be as old as I am in Los Angeles. And Wells, break this down. Nothing makes me feel older today than the idea that you have to live your life in worry about your social media, your brand, your future out there in the internet verse. Like, I'm really like kind of having a mini crisis right now just hearing, because I could not even fathom having to make choices based on how you look on a tiny little screen.
Yeah. Well, happy birthday, Brendan. Happy birthday, Brendan.
Yeah.
Look, the good news is that wasn't that, you know what? You're all booed up. It all worked out.
Yeah, but this is a reference for that's too old for people. But if this was Logan's Run, my crystal is blinking really damn hard right now. So
I don't know who's in Logan's
Run.
Well,
Michael Schumann was it. This is a million years ago, but it was a movie about the future where basically you're killed when you turn 30.
Okay.
So there you go.
Look, well, I have to say, before we take a break, was anybody shocked when he picked Cat in the end? Did everybody think he was going to pick Cat?
It felt like it was leaning that way.
Yeah. I mean, Cat is a very charming when she turns it on. I used to be friends with some cats, and they are hard as a female to be friends with. And when I would watch them come for guys I liked or guys I was dating, and there was nothing, just for sport. That's my issue with it. It's when somebody does it just for sport, just to win. It's like, we all knew you were gonna win. You can win. You're gonna win. If it's sort of sexy, like you're gonna win. And it's hard to watch. It's when you watch it happening, it's almost like a slow moving car crash. Like, you haven't hit the barrier yet, but you're like, okay, that's happening. They're up at the hot tub and they're standing down at the water. And I think she was too much. Not that she could have even stopped at Olivia, but it was almost too much of a sure thing immediately. You need a little mystery.
Punk rock cat is my type. Punk rock cat, like fully green hair, fully sleeved up the neck.
Silver-like cat
is completely my type. So, you know, anytime she's on screen, I'm like, oh, fantastic.
Oh, gross. All right. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Yes! It's time for Bachelor in Paradise!
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Okay, and we're back. I want to talk about Jess and Blake and the fact that it was never acknowledged that he went and made out, like that she made out with Tyler. And like, Mercedes is like clicking her heels when she got the rose. And it's like, we're all in. He's such a reliable, and he's like all secrets. I'm so upfront. It's like, you guys just like totally made out on the daybed. Yes, Katie Levine.
I was so confused by that, because I was like, when she was saying like, oh, we don't have secrets, I was like, oh, so he told her. And then I was like, I don't think he told her.
And then when Jess said to me, I missed you. I missed your compliments. Yes. I miss you looking at me. I miss you telling me I look pretty. I'm like, you don't miss him. You miss his compliments.
Something like happened that they didn't show us. I'm convinced. Because like the whole situation with those four was weird.
But even her, I mean, I believe that that's how Jess approached it. And I'm like,
yeah. And I feel bad for Genevieve, because like they had a good date and she was great. And she was really cool. And I was like, that sucks.
I know.
That poor
girl. And then he was quickly back in. And then they bring down the newest contestant of F-Boy Island. Katie's back. I forgot that Katie Thurston's on F-Boy Island. But I was just surprised. I'm like, Blake has grown on me. And I have enjoyed him this season. And I just wanted him to like himself more. That even if Jess wasn't the one, or even if Genevieve wasn't the one, of being like, I want somebody more than just you missing me complimenting you. You know what I mean? Like, and even though I think that she's very sweet, I just want a little more for him. And that's how I felt. Okay. Wells, do you feel comfortable speaking on this?
Yeah. I don't know if you picked up on it, but they started kind of revealing what Jess's nickname was, which was Baby Jess. And I think that, yes, she is young, so that nickname makes sense. But I also think that that's also speaking to kind of like her maturity in terms of like her emotional growth. I think that she probably has had a couple like serious, maybe one serious relationship. Okay. And I think that the problem that Blake is having with her is that like he is a full grown adult with a job and everything. And
yeah.
And so they're not seeing each other on the same footing. And I think that's one of the issues. I think that if 3 years go down the road and Jess comes back, we'd see a completely different woman that knows what she wants and what she doesn't. Because right now she just wants like words of affirmation, which is surface, I think.
Yeah, I understand that. Brendan.
I can't. The backstage analysis is just so ridiculous. This is like such an honor to hear.
We got you this for your birthday.
All I'm obsessed with is like production. What's going on? How's Gary in transportation? Like the craft service. Like, all that stuff. So hearing all this stuff is like, you know, Steve the PA. How's he doing? Carrying around the computer on the little contraption. But it's kind of mind blowing. If people could, because I've been so consumed traveling with my parents JoJo and Jordan lately. Can people fill me in on the Katie and Blake history real quickly?
So do you remember during the pandemic, Katie was a bachelorette at like the Hyatt, New Mexico. Oh, and she had a date down by a river with like a piss bucket.
Right.
And with that guy, Greg Ripple.
No, that's right. Remember?
He went to Stage Door Manor and wanted to be like an off Broadway dude.
Okay. Now I know why I don't remember, because remember, I was so mad because that was my hometown.
And yeah. So it was like, they gave her like the Hyatt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They gave her like the Hyatt and a piss bucket by a river.
Yeah. And they didn't do the dates that I would have planned had I been the executive producer. So I bailed on that season. Right. That's okay. Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
So, okay. So there was another guy that she really liked who was like an aspiring like Broadway guy, Greg Grippo.
Yeah.
And producers played him so well because he got a little jealous. And they had, so they run her up at this, like, this moment in time towards the end was this guy, Blake, who's Canadian, and he's, like, a animal guy. And so they had, like, a hometowns date, but it was, like, the height of COVID. So they did, like, street hockey right outside Greg Grippo's balcony. So they see them, like, playing hockey. He's locked up with, like, a COVID COVID exile. They're like dry humping on the pavement, shooting pox. Greg Grippo loses his fucking mind and self-eliminates. So then she gets engaged to this. And whenever all the guys liked Blake, and whenever they would do like art classes, he would have like a giant boner, and like he would talk a ton about his dick, and like, which was apparently huge, and he would have like giant erections. And all the guys liked him, but it was a lot about his dick, and he was here last year. This guy seems to be like somehow he's calmed his testosterone down. He seems kind of like a chill guy that's able to not talk about his dick all day. Like he's actually like he's aged into himself in the way that like he just seems like a catch. He's like a nice Canadian guy, not getting a boner on the date talking about it. Like they don't have to put giant black bars over his dick when he goes out. But he's always been a nice guy, and he was engaged to Katie. Would you say that's a fair assessment of Blake's history?
Yeah, and then they broke up, and I think that she broke up with him, I think, is how I...
Quickly.
Yeah.
And then she immediately started dating a San Diego bro that she eliminated like night one or two.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and then bought him a bus.
I know for a fact that that resort is built on a Native American burial ground. I was also fired from that season of... the show. I was a writer's assistant, and I pitched a date where they go to John Lennon Park near the University of New Mexico to score heroin, like people used to do in the 80s, and I got fired right away. So I missed the whole thing. The fucking disaster. Thank you for listening.
Okay, great. There you go. Did you know that Wells was a DJ like in Nashville and like interviewed probably all your heroes?
Yeah. Yeah,
I did alt. I did a classic rock show. I did a CHR show. I did everything. By the way, I went to that hotel because I had to film something there. And no joke, that I'm not surprised. If you're being honest, I'm not surprised that it was built on a burial ground. That place fucking sucked.
Yeah, I know. I know exactly where it is.
Was it built on a burial ground?
Yeah. Well, no, land that we stole from our Native American brothers. So yes.
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, okay, so Blake and Jess are paired off. And then we have, you know, everything's happening. Okay, then we have Aaron and Charity. And I don't know.
This whole thing confused me. I have to be honest with you. And it did seem like a thing of, I will give Charity and Eliza some grace because the way that Aaron explained it was very, very confusing. There were too many dates. Yeah. There were too many people. Like it was just, it just wasn't concise enough.
Yeah, but
like,
stop talking.
It was this whole like kind of like hit job on his character that ended with Charity being like, but I know he's a nice guy. So it's like, okay. And it was like, well, hold on. What did we do here, Charity? You had this whole thing to like kind of ruin his life for like 2 days. I thought that was a very, very confusing bit of information.
And he seemed guilty of something. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, if somebody said, if you guys have pulled something shady, no branches. Just stop talking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just stop adding branches. Just stick to the line of questioning. You know what I mean? Like what? He just talked too much. He talked too much. And he's like, oh, no, that person? No, it was okay. Well, there's the other one that was like, okay, well, wait, you don't know about that second one? No, what I meant was, and it was just like, I felt like Charity, who I loved, felt like she really had some red flags about Aaron, but then didn't want to come, wanted to come down, but didn't want to like fully commit, like look like a bad guy. I don't know. And it felt a little bit like, I'm going to give you this information without actually giving you this information, but I guess it's all good. And Yes.
I have a question. It's kind of for Wells. Like, do you think that he was still in the vortex of production, having just come off the Bachelorette season and having his real life bleed in to the show? Well, because that was what, June? July of
when we filmed?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So usually you wrap around, if you went as far as he did, I think he probably wrapped around sometime early May. And then, so he had about a month before Paradise. Here's what I think. Honestly, I believe Aaron. Here's what I think happened. I think that he was dating a girl before the show, and he was probably going through casting. They broke up. He was decided he was in. He was like, I'm still might go on the show. He started dating somebody else. They broke up, and then he went on the show. And him saying about the new girl, what he was trying to explain was, I couldn't have like wronged this girl and broken up with her to go on the show because I was dating somebody else afterwards. Right. And that's what he was trying to get across, right. But it just didn't right. come across well, if that makes any sense.
It feels like in the age of apps, like everybody's dating everybody. So to believe that these incredibly attractive people, men and women, with the however long it takes for the general casting, like the fact that people would just be completely free and clear and unable to date leading up, like it just feels, of course people have people that they were seeing right before they, I mean, like that's the name of the game, I think, right now. Well, right?
We have said so many times on this podcast and the various variations of this podcast that the rules of hot people world are a lot different than the regular world. So I am personally going to give Aaron a pass on this whole thing because I don't know why, but I have been a sucker for their relationship. And I admit that publicly.
Okay.
Right now. The other thing, though, is that the way that Charity explains it was like, so I get off the show and this girl DMs me and I don't see it. And then she starts DMing my family members and DMing my friends. And then I'm sitting there being like, this person that's DMing everyone seems a little unhinged here.
Yeah, yes. It's extra.
Yeah.
And also probably just trying to get access to Charity. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Dr. Banana, what do you think about the Aaron B. Eliza situation?
Well, I agree. It was very confusing how he explained it, but it also somehow felt like he was like panicking in the moment. Are Kat and Charity actually best friends? Like, I'm so confused by this relationship that Kat was sort of like, we're best friends. That's why I know this. Also, here's this random information. I don't know. It all goes back to Kat for me.
Yeah.
What is happening?
Yeah. Yeah. I want to bring Kat in to hang out with. I don't really. The thought of me, I don't need to do that. I was going to say, I felt like we could teach Kat some empathy, but I don't know. You know what? Live and let live.
I do think that something really wonderful is going to come out of all this and that she is going to be forced to see herself acting in these ways and have some growth. Like, because it's amazing how we're airing it, like the blatant irony that's coming out of her mouth constantly cannot be lost on her, you know? But
it almost feels like incredible performance art.
Yeah. Like when she says something like, she's like, do you want, are you going to choose me or are you not going to choose me? And Tanner's like, yeah, I don't know. And then she goes, I'm not an option. And I was like, well, okay, hold on. That's what a choice is. It's you have options.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
she's incredible.
And I loved, I got to be honest with you, like as someone who's like watching the show as a fan and didn't get not getting to see some of this stuff, but watching it back, like
incredible.
When first of all, Tanner does a thing where he does, it's not me, it's you, which that's an amazing, to do that incredible. On The Bachelor was beautiful. So he goes,
honestly, good for
it's
him.
It's not me, it's you. And then she goes, then she does a thing of no one dumps me, I dump you.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it was like,
I mean, the
this is beautiful.
The confidence.
Yeah.
The confidence. If I could even just have like 1/100th of that superpower. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
She goes around being like, I chose to dump Tanner.
Yeah. I mean, come on. We would be the people that I actually like have come through Hollywood and comedy with who are like that are so much richer than any of us. They're the most successful banana pants. Like it's like, no, I'm number one on the call sheet. And you're like, are you? Okay. You're terrifying. Like, and they just willed it into like, this is my fourth home. You're like, okay. Okay. All right. I think people are so afraid of them that it's like, okay. Now let's talk for a second. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and we're going to talk about the Tanner of it all.
Oh, Bone Zone.
Time for the Bone Zone.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
And we're back. Okay, so Tanner, if we recall, had this great date with Davia, who came in, seemed lovely, beautiful. We know she's got her eyes are different colors. I think she was a nice option because she wasn't cat. She wasn't screaming about her birthday. She wasn't hitting human pinatas with her, like, for her birthday. But they seemed to have a really nice date, much like Genevieve with Blake. And then, so Tanner, as the road ceremony approaches, is sort of like the bachelor of, it seems like he's the one that's up for grabs. And he goes and has a chat with Rachel, and they're like on a daybed, and they're like, well, I guess we're both kind of outliers. Yeah, we both kind of are outliers here. We just like to watch. Yeah, I mean, look, I liked you. I didn't go for you because like a lot of people went for you. God, what should we do? We should probably make out. Enjoyed that line. Thought that was a good line. So they have a little kiss, but I'm like, okay, Rachel, and I have felt for her. It could not have been easy to be share the bachelorette, to be have to have not be the only bachelorette. Seemed like she was a little delicate with Gabby. I felt badly for her. I felt badly for her going down to the beach, first down on the beach. You want a stampede if you want the reaction that Hannah Brown got. And I feel like this young lady has not had that. She hasn't had that same path as Becca got or as Hannah Brown got. And she seemed to really like our friend Brayden. And so I kind of felt bad for her. And lo and behold, Tanner does not give his rose to she of two eye colors, Davia. He gives it to Rachel. Now, well, he might be your friend. I felt like he picked her because she has a higher status in the, I felt like she was a bachelorette. And to me, I'm like, oh, he's picking status. Why wouldn't you pick Davia? To me, you don't have to agree with me. It's not a nice thing to say, but I was trying to figure out why after that date would he not pick Davia? That's the only thing I could come up with. You don't have to comment on it. I'll start with Brendan. You can say it. Wells, you can go. Wells, you can go.
Honestly, I was as confused as you were. I ended up leaving relatively earlier, and that was a really long rose ceremony night. And I think around like 3:30, I was like, I'm out. Fuck this.
Yes.
And that rose ceremony, I think it went into like 4:35. And when I was leaving, I was like, he's definitely going to give it to Davia. And, you know, and like that wasn't even something that I thought was going to happen. So I agree with you. I was just as confused when I like watched it back.
Yeah. And I thought that was the only thing I could come up with. Brendan.
Look, I'm secretly rooting for Tanner in life. because he's from Pittsburgh and the Steeler fan, and we're 6-3, even with a horrible offense. So whatever Tanner does, he's a yinzer. I'm an old school yinzer. He can do no wrong with me. Okay. You know what? He and Rachel look like not the homecoming king and queen, but like the third couple down the line, you know, and like he's a decent basketball player and she's kind of popular, but not the most popular girl. So they kind of match in that sense to me. So, you know, fuck it. Why not? Who cares? I don't know. Is that also a situation where possibly there is a producer in someone's ear? I don't know.
Okay. Katie Levine, what did you think?
I thought it was weird. And I don't think they're like bad together, but I hope they don't last because that cute ass race car driver is showing up.
Oh, right.
And I loved him on the show. And I was so mad when she cut him. I thought he was so cute.
Me too. He was so cute.
Yeah. And I really hope that they hook up.
I agree with you. They had chemistry and she cut him. Yeah.
We were shocked when, because like, I remember, like, I think we like chose him to go very far.
I think we chose him all the way. Yeah. Okay, good. Dr. Banana.
Yeah, that was interesting. I felt like maybe Tanner, he kissed like three women that night, like Rachel, yeah. Genevieve, and Davi. Did he end up kissing Davi? I don't remember. But I was surprised by that. But I also kind of agree with what you're saying, that maybe Rachel has the highest status in that group. But then Davi has the two colored eyes, and he didn't talk about that a lot.
She's gorge. I mean, she's a babe.
She's gorge.
But they do look like a couple. I will say they do look like a couple.
Who? Rachel and Tanner?
Rachel and Tanner look like boyfriend, girlfriend. No. It's like, you know what? We met when we were 14. No. We dated for 11 years. No. Yeah. We got married.
Their uniforms match.
They have the same team jersey.
Their uniforms match.
Okay, great. All right. And then, haven't seen this, Becca, Brayden ditched Rachel to go on a date with sexy Becca, and they go and they had their tantric food outing, and he was horny for her. And even though I felt badly for Rachel when he ditched her, I felt badly for Brayden. And I respected Becca. I actually respected her saying in my gut. Like, she was thinking it through. Like, if I stay, do I have to get engaged? I don't want to get engaged. Like I could go on maybe another date, but, like, if I'm staying, does that mean, like, in 2 weeks I need to get engaged to Brayden? Like, I actually respected her wherewithal of going, this is crazy. I'm not getting engaged to Brayden. So that's what I almost felt very lucid. And it was like her body would absolutely not allow, because it's like, that's the end game here. Okay, yes, Brendan, I saw your hand.
I was just going to say, I love it when people self-eliminate. Wells, I love it when reality crashes in on someone's head and they're like, I can't do this. I can't do this with the crew and the people and the thing.
I loved her running off into the jungle.
I'm out.
Yeah, well, she almost looked like she was going to go. Yeah. And then it's like, she was like kind of being like, maybe I can do it. And she like sees it and she's just like, nope.
She did a fake out. She was like, okay, I'll follow you, Jesse Palmer.
Yeah.
You go first. I'm just going to follow. I'm going to powder my nose for a second. And then she Irish goodbye the entire program. That's me at a party. That's me at my own birthday. It's like a full Irish goodbye. I'm here for that.
Wells, I've always thought that maybe it's someone in production. Maybe it could be you. Maybe it's Gary from Transportation. Maybe it's Mary, the cool wardrobe lady who's always like, if you want to get out, talk to me. I can help you like get out of this place really cleanly, really easily. Just let me know if you want out and I will help facilitate this fucking thing.
Hey, here's a cake with a chisel inside of it. We can break you out of this thing.
She saved it from the birthday party last week.
My favorite thing about that whole experience, because again, I was gone by then. So I didn't see any of this. Okay. I like woke up the next day and everyone's like, she left. It was weird. My favorite thing was no one noticed that she wasn't there.
Yeah.
Even the guy who was going to give the rose, it had to be the host who's there for like 7 seconds episode, who is like, we're missing somebody. And even Brayden's like, oh yeah, where is she?
Oh my God, you're right.
Wow.
You know, I had to literally go for a second and she just came so late. So there's nothing against her. I had to go, Who's Becca? We're also doing two shows at once right now, I gotta tell you. We're doing two shows at once. And then it also felt weird when Jesse came in and made the announcement that Sam had pooped. That felt like it had been a month and a half since Sam. That poor lady.
But that also goes to show you like how early we still are on this show. And I think...
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, and I was doing a podcast with someone else earlier today, and they were saying, like, isn't it time that, like, these... like, it should be further along. And I was like, you're living in the old paradise schedule of two episodes that are 2 hours, for Mondays week. And Tuesdays. So you rip through the season. But the truth of the matter is, we're probably, like, halfway through right now. Like, Sarah came and visited me, like, basically half the season, and I know that, like, in this moment that we're in, Sarah's not there yet. You know?
Wait a minute. So is it going to not be the same finale night as Golden Bachelor because there's more of them? Probably not.
Yeah, well, Golden Bachelor's taking, like, a couple weeks off, I think.
Okay. Yeah, it's Well, we've also never been this late before. Yeah. I mean, this was a summer show, and then eventually started pushing a little bit past Labor Day. Now we're coming into... There's holiday decorations all over New York right now. You know what I mean? I saw snow. I've seen snow. It's wild that we're so... Look, I love it. I'm here for it. You know, and I'm enjoying the Paradise/Golden Bachelor combo. I'm having a good time. All right, here we go. So who else have we not talked about? Who's a hanging thread?
Well, and what ends up happening, though, which is very odd, is that Becca leaves, right? And and so then that creates, what is Brayden going to do?
That's right.
And so then he ends up saving Olivia.
That's right.
And for me, I'm like, I get it. Rachel had already been given a rose by someone else.
Yeah.
So he can't do that, like, to, extend the olive branch. And he wants to give it to somebody who he, like, thinks has been wrong. And obviously he does not like Kat from how she treated him earlier. And this is such a great way of being like, well, I'm keeping her around.
It's the perfect revenge.
Yeah. But there's a part of me that's like, Brayden, you probably should have just left with her. You know, like that would have made more sense to me. But
anyways,
that's what happened.
Well, then we have, okay, that's right. So he saves Olivia, and then down comes the sea captain.
Yeah.
Who I had going pretty far when we did draft picks last time. Now, if you recall correctly, opening night, he told Charity's brother that he prefers a woman with curves. I just remember, I was like, because like he was my guy, and I remember like that I picked, and I was like, oh fuck, don't say that to Charity's brother. Yeah,
like when he was all tricked out in the face.
When he was the bartender disguise. He's like, she's cute, but I prefer like a curvier gal. And I'm like, you don't say that. You're on camera. But then so he goes, and we don't know who he's going to pick. I hope he picks Olivia. I did appreciate that she turned on a dime, that things were looking up, that she was seeming excited. Yes, Brendan.
I thought that he was going to mix things up with Eliza. I thought that he was really going to shake up the whole thing because they had made such a feature out of that at the beginning of the episode. I thought for sure he'd be like, I'd like to go on a date with Eliza. And see if that happens, because he would be like coming in clean, completely clean, sparkly and shiny, no baggage at all. I don't know.
Yes.
I thought.
We don't know who he's picked yet. There hasn't been the reveal.
That's true.
Dr. Banana, who do you think he picks? Because we know that Wells knows, so we can't say.
Honestly, I do not remember. I have no idea.
Oh, man. I really hope it's Olivia.
You do.
Yeah. But everyone else is sort of coupled up, so I'm kind of like, who else could it be?
I feel like it's weird. Like, it's been a minute since we've had like a Tanner and Jade. You know what I mean? Like, we have Avon and Kylie, but we never see them. They've said nothing. We see them at the rose ceremonies. So either there's nothing that they're talking about, or like, you know, I want a little if they're going to be our Tanner and Jade, I want a little camera on them so I could be rooting for him if it works out. He seems like a nice enough guy. You know? Yes, Brendan.
When that happens, I wonder if they're like a very strong couple when things are not filming or shooting or whatever, you know? And thus, like, the producers kind of get bored with them. Wells, have you had the experience of like looking into no matter what season it was, and going, oh, that they have paired up already. These two people have paired up already, and they're just going to kind of navigate around the construction of the show. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, you mean watching like the main, like the main just feed watching of like Bachelor and Bachelorette?
No. Like when the people show up at Paradise, I know sometimes they DM each other and they're all kind of from certain circles.
Fire emoji.
But like, have you ever witnessed like chemistry between two people that was kind of undeniable right off the bat? And then they have to kind of navigate the, production.
Yeah, I mean, it happens every season. I think last season it was Brendan and Serena.
They were so cute. I was sorry to hear them break up.
I know, but like, they were that couple that like...
So that's Kylie and Avon.
Yeah, and they're inseparable. And I'll have to do a lot of those pep talks with them to be like, hey, guys, you're just not going to be on the show unless you are like in some way interesting, you know? Because what ends up happening is that they only talk to each other and they go off and they're by themselves. And you're like, listen, you're going to be upset when you watch the show back because you in your mind, you're like, we're the best love story in the world. But it's like, yeah, but you guys are boring. Right. So no one's going to care.
That's right. Yeah. That's interesting.
And you can't go, okay, guys, there's a resort next door. You guys have to go and rob the sushi restaurant, the Chinese restaurant, the Italian restaurant, and get the most expensive stuff in the back here, get arrested by the authorities.
Is it weird going, like, have you had a favorite season that you've done?
The first one I did, BIP4, which was the one that we had a scandal and we got a shutdown. That was the most fun because there was like this weird trauma bond. We all had to like stop filming and like leave. And also I was at that time young enough. They were all my peers.
Yeah.
Right.
Now I'm starting to feel like I used to feel like the cousin, and now I'm like, I think I'm like the cool uncle, I think. And then like this one, I was like, I think I'm dad now. Like I'm married and like people are asking about my wife and you know, like.
Right.
And I'm like, oh,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's interesting.
Do you, who are some of your pals that you've kept and made from the seasons?
I'm still close with Dean and Kaylin.
Oh my God.
And
we love that.
Yeah. And like Kaylin and my wife are really good friends and we're at their wedding. I love Joe and Serena. I married them.
Yes.
And cause
they're great.
Joe and I spent multiple seasons working on that show together or doing the show.
He's great. He did our live show last year.
He's
so funny.
And he's so himself. He's so funny.
Yeah.
He's so himself.
I do love Kenny and Mari. They're both like annoyingly attractive people to be around.
Oh, interesting.
You're like,
I have not met Kaylin, but I've met Dean, Joe, and Serena, and they're all dead gorgeous.
Yeah.
So Kenny and Mari must be ridiculous.
Mari is like, she looks like, you know, young Sophia Loren. Like it's one of those things you're just
she's
whoa.
Beautiful.
She was my pick to win that season.
Remember when Katie touched her shoulder with a dildo? Anyway.
Oh, that's right.
And that's who they made the Bachelorette.
That's right. They couldn't believe that somebody had a vibrator. And then they're like, what's all the buzz about? Like ABC was like, it was like so, and I remember it was also like they gave Michelle like a full mansion with like a crystal basketball hoop. And they gave her like a vibrator and like a white scrim of like, there's something buzzing on ABC.
We do a ton of dildo fights on Bachelor Silver Lake. We go to the pleasure chest on Santa Monica.
Yeah.
And you know, whoever, you know, wins that fight gets the rose.
That's so great.
Gets the ball gag.
Get the ball gag. That's so sweet. That's so great. I'm so happy for you, Brendan. Well, I mean, look, Wells, you can't participate, but I'm going to guess that there's going to be one engagement. And I will say I believe it's going to be Kylie and Avon. I think that's going to be the only engagement. And look, I'm open to a pleasant surprise, but I don't see one. Katie Levine, you're next. Who do you think?
I guess Kylie and Avon. No one else seems like strong enough. Like Tyler and Mercedes, like kind of act like they are, but like what they've seen, I feel like
they've already had a transgression.
Yeah, I think Kylie and Avon are the only ones that are strong enough to actually get engaged.
Dr. Banana.
Yeah, I would say Kylie and Avon and... Maybe Mercedes and Tyler. I know he just kissed Jess, but...
Yeah, okay.
I don't
know. Brendan Smith.
I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say that I think that Kat and John Henry are going to end up together.
Wow, that's fun.
Because I think their uniforms match as well. They look like a couple to me. So that's my wild card pick.
Well, Wait, hold on.
I won't spoil anything, but you guys are all so far off, and you are going to really, 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 really love
it. That's really fun.
Is there a storm coming? Does everyone die? What is happening?
I need to know. How many more episodes are there?
There's a good... So I think this is 7 this Thursday.
Yeah.
I think we have 10. Gosh. So we have 4 more and then I'm sure a live show. Oh.
Okay.
Avon gets bitten by a shark, loses a limb.
Jesse Palmer ends up with Olivia.
Wait. I could actually see Blake and Jess getting engaged.
Mm.
Okay, that's a good one.
I kind of forgot about them, but I could see them just like being one of those couples that were like, they're not going to make it. And then they get engaged.
Okay.
And then they get married.
Okay.
Aaron, maybe? I forgot about them as well.
Eliza wouldn't do it. I feel like Eliza. I feel like Eliza wouldn't do it. I feel like she would because she was.
This is so fun for me because I watch it. Obviously, I know. And to see you guys who are watching the show be so incredibly wrong makes me so happy.
We thrive at we're wrong about everything, Ralph. That's our brand.
Like it's really going to be a great ending for you, I think.
The most important question. The most important question. Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. Are they going to
get married? They better get fucking married.
I loved their kiss. I love their backstage kiss this weekend.
I have to say, I love Taylor Swift, as we all know on this podcast. And I love Travis Kelce. And when I played fantasy football for years, I would draft a tight end
He's your bread and butter.
Just to get him.
He's your bread and butter.
Yeah. Yep. He would win me games all the time. I hope they get married. I love
Me too. He can handle her. He's not threatened by her.
He's definitely not threatened. He worships her.
There we go.
Love it.
I'm here for that.
People should see there's an incredible genre of TikTok videos where girls pimp out their boyfriends or husbands, and they go, have you heard of this Travis Kelce guy?
Yeah.
Jason Kelce guy? He's like a football player or something, and Taylor Swift has made him like kind of a star. He was like a D-level celebrity, but now he's B, and all the guys are like, honey.
Yeah.
He's like the best tight end in the whole fucking history of the NFL. And they lose it. It's the best. And they just keep tipping him out like, I don't know. I've never heard. How can you say that? He's the best tight end who's ever played in the history of football.
Yeah.
There you go. I mean, I'd never heard of him. Look at this look at this guy that got picked. This anonymous football player. Look at him.
Who is this guy that was picked completely out of obscurity?
I thought he
hosted Saturday Night Live.
That's not possible. You're lying. That's not possible. It's because they knew. Look. No, not possible. Look,
and you know what? It was a good episode.
He's gonna have some charisma. That's fine. You guys, what a joy! Can I just say, I just love having you guys on. Just love having you guys on. We've got some very fun RSVPs to my birthday party. I'm just gonna say, my DJ's coming back. My tacos will be back. It's on. The strike is done. It will be fun. It's going to be fun. Get ready. I'll be back. It's happening. Here we go. Look, you guys, my show this Friday is in New York. Before I get to the tweets of the week, it's in 4 nights. It's in 3 nights. It's at Union Hall. It's our last New York show of the fall. We've been doing a monthly show, me and Brian Safi. Jordan Carlos is doing it. Sydney Washington, Joe Firestone. It's so funny. And there's like a few tickets left if you go to unionhallny.com. No autographs, please. We're also doing it December 6th in Los Angeles, our first ever live show at Elysian Theater with Chris Fleming, who's fucking hilarious. If you haven't seen his stand-up special, he's so funny. He does the Boba Manifesto tea dance. And also Meatball, who is a drag performer who did an impression of George Santos that George Santos thought was complimentary. And like, it was like with like Meghan McCain. It was like, Meatballs like a star. So anyway, before we do our tweet of the week, Wells, what would you like to plug?
There's a show on ABC on Thursday nights, 9/8 Central, called Bachelor in Paradise that I would love for you to watch. You can also.
I've never heard. Dating shows.
What? You can also stream.
I don't do dating shows. Yeah. I don't watch much reality. I watch like The Wire.
Yeah. No. All the light we cannot see. I get it. You're highbrow, but you know.
Have you ever heard of a little show called Breaking Bad?
Yeah. Bringing it back to Albuquerque. That was nice.
That's exactly it. I thought that's what this was, Bachelorette.
Yeah.
Brendan, what would you like to promote?
Well, always kids, thebrandocast.com. Rock Tales with Ahmet Zappa. So many great rock star guests coming up in the not so distant future. And, you know, we're still doing Will You Accept This Rose Side Hustle. We're doing Summer
House. Hey, John, we're doing Summer House. We're doing Southern Charm and Winter House.
That's right. Southern Charm and Winter House.
Winter House has people from Vanderpump Rules. It has people from Below Deck. It has people from, who knows, all the shows.
The big difference between these shows and Bachelor in Paradise is cocaine. That is the biggest difference between the shows. Cocaine. The Devil's Counter.
It is definitely it's sponsored by cocaine. Speaking of which, we're going to take a quick break and we'll come back and we'll do Tweet of the Week.
Guys, it's time for Bachelor in Paradise. Put on your monokinis and get ready to get an STD.
Arriba.
And Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Okay, you guys. Now look, this isn't for a sleep crown. Wells, did you ever get a sleep crown?
No, I don't know what that is.
What? Oh, okay.
A sleep crown?
Okay. Yeah. Okay, this is not a paid sponsor. This is a woman who's worried about
me. I know exactly what you're talking about. It's the really comfy pillows that go over top of your face. Yes.
And it wraps around your head.
Yeah.
And it's like a whoopee, but it's like a weighted blanket meets a sleep mask.
Yeah.
So you don't have one.
No, I do. I do. I thought that was like some sort of award for like someone's best tweets. They get a crown and I was confused.
So she sends sleep crowns to the winners, but she sends it to the right now the Golden Bachelor winners. Mm. But if you want a discount on yours, you can go to sleepcrown.com/WYATR, code golden for all sorts of discounts, free shipping, etc. I travel with mine. I brought mine to Columbus. Okay, here we go, guys. We have four tweets going for Tweet of the Week. We might have five. Okay, so this is from Alex at Jewel Tone Champ. In recent news that shocks absolutely no one, so we call We call Kat Birthzilla. You just need to know because she was birthday Godzilla about her birthday. Okay. Birthzilla celebrates a birth week, not a birthday. I can already hear Gareth screaming, a birthday during my birth week. Unacceptable. That's from, by the way, I saw Jim Jeffries do stand up recently. Holy shit, is he funny. I went and saw him in New York at the Paramount. Oh my God. So, no, lying at the Beacon. Okay, Cheyenne Constant at Trixie Firecracker. Aaron S. spent all this time trying to get Sam to poo, and now we know we should have just sent her some of Susan's meatballs. Go figure.
Yeah.
That's a crossover tweet. That's and great. I appreciate crossover. A good crossover tweet. I also think it was the meatballs.
No, it was Edith's guac.
It was the moly. It was the moly. The amole. Okay, Lauren Jean Johnson at Words by L.I.J. The good news is we will never lose track of any of these women. They can probably be seen from space with all of that glitter. There is a lot of glitter in 2023. It's a wild move. Another one. Do all these women walk through a waterfall of glitter before the cocktail parties? Brendan, were you going to wear glitter coming here today?
I am wearing glitter underneath my Iron Maiden shirt.
Okay.
His whole chest is covered in glitter.
For your birthday. It's your birthday. I feel like the winner is the meatballs. Am I wrong?
Love the crossover.
Okay. I love the crossover. We love our girl Cheyenne Constant at Trixie Firecracker. Aaron S. spent all this time trying to get Sam to poo, and now we know should have just sent her some of Susan's meatballs. Go figure. Look, we can't tell you when and where, but we will be doing a live show in January. And I'm just saying we may or may not have one of Wells's new best friends who's going to participate with us. And it's going to be great. And it's going to be fun. And it should be soon. But we just sort of like to warn you so you could just stash a little of your holiday cash aside and just know that we will be bringing some idiocy for you guys to enjoy. All right. Well, Katie Levine, what would you like to promote?
I am KT_money on Instagram. And as always, please adopt or foster an animal for your local shelter. And also right now, it's Thanksgiving coming up. One thing I like to do is I like to symbolically adopt or sponsor turkeys from different animal sanctuaries. You can do it from Farm Sanctuary, Charlie's Acres up in Sonoma. One of our listeners, Jenny, actually works at Woodstock Farm Sanctuary, and you can symbolically adopt a turkey from there. So, you know, look into that if you're interested. All the money goes to help those animal sanctuaries with their turkeys and other animals.
That's so
I love it. And they send you like a little card and they're like, you adopt a tiny.
That's so cute. Dr. Banana, what would you like to promote?
I'm at Anna Hostney on Twitter, at Selling Hostney on Instagram. And I guess if you want to see the Workaholic guys on tour, go to TIITour.com. I'm with them. I don't know what that means. You don't really see me. There is some puppet work I might be behind. I will not reveal what. You'll have to come and see the show to understand if I am a puppet on the show.
I believe that you might be. I also have a movie coming out sometime in December on Amazon called Step Aside that I'm the lead of. It's a dance-off movie. And it's called Step Aside. And it's like Bring It On meets Best in Show. And I'm a nightmare. I'm like a Abby Lee Miller, head of a dance studio, and I got to have a routine, and it's really fun. It was written, directed by one of the women who was on Glow, and it's very, very fun. And I will let you know when I have the actual drop date, but it will be in December, and I'm really excited. So you guys will have to, I'll keep you posted. You guys have to at least just hit play and then seem like you watched it the first night, and then you can watch it with your family whenever you want. All right, until next time, my name is Arna Breen. Thank you so much. Good night.
Oh, yeah. Gonna get all up in you tonight. But it feels so good. I just got one little question for you, girl. Will you accept this rose? Oh, will you accept this rose into your world? Accept this rose into your world.
Will You Accept This Rose is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander, or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So, Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.